Okay.
Cool.
Wrexham. Just getting the sound level.
Yeah. Sphincter.
Oh, that's how Talibab would do it. Yeah.
Why do we just do the word 2, 3, 4?
Yeah, it's usually check 1, 2, isn't it?
Yeah. Rectum sphincter.
Not rectum sphincter. Well, it's got all the like, explosives and stuff, isn't it?
If you say it right.
That's right. Which you did. How do you say?
How do you say in French, le sphincter?
Le sphincter.
And yet sounds good. And record.
Before. Pendant des années, t'as tout fait pour que je parte. Et je suis resté longtemps, trop longtemps, et j'étais très con.
Eh ben, t'es lent. T'as toujours été lent. Même tes chaussures, elles vont plus vite que toi.
Elle peut pas partir comme ça, faut qu'elle attende ses parents.
Ils sont morts, mes parents.
Mais j'ai déjà été prévenu.
C'est bon.
Ta mère était folle d'inquiétude.
T'es tellement jeune, papa.
C'est sympa pour moi.
Ah putain, l'année commence bien.
Je viens du futur. Je suis en train de revivre mon passé. J'ai pas 16 ans, j'ai 40 ans.
Lève-toi, Yacol.
J'y vais pas, j'ai déjà donné.
On se connaît?
Qu'est-ce que tu ferais si tu savais toute ta vie à l'avance? Vous qui êtes un scientifique, vous pouvez pas me sortir de là.
Je pourrais construire une machine.
Il va pas le faire, ni au réverbère après.
Je sais pas ce qu'on voit. T'as chanté?
Et au réverbère d'encore après, il va m'embrasser.
Mais comme deux planètes qui s'attirent, on n'y peut rien.
Tu m'as fait jamais dire ça.
Vous êtes la fille la plus étrange que j'ai jamais vue.
Hello and welcome to Time Babble, where my colleague and I babble about films. More specifically, time travel films, or films that generally mess about with the concept of time. The films will be a heady mix of highbrow and lowbrow, but the chat will probably end up heavily weighted towards lowbrow. This week, we are looking at the 2012 film Camille Redouble, or Camille Rewinds. The film was both written and directed by Naomi Lebowski, who also stars in the title role. It's a loose remake of Peggy Sue Got Married, although this time the film is set in the 2000s, and we travel back to 1985. It would actually be super cool if someone did the same story set 25 years after this one, and keeps the cycle going every 25 years. Meanwhile, the story follows familiar and unfamiliar paths to American Peggy, although this film is way more subtle and mature in tone than its American counterpart. After realising her marriage and failed career as an actress are crashing down around her, French Peggy disappears at 1 second before 1 second before New Year 1985 is announced. She wakes up in hospital and we journey with her into high school and her 16th year. We follow her relationships with her parents, family, and friends, and how, as we all know, some things cannot be changed. However, those things can change you. The film is a delight and should be more widely known, although not so widely known that the Francis Ford lawyers come a-knocking. The film premiered at Cannes and won awards during the director's fortnight, including Best Supporting Actress for Peggy's French Mum, played by Yolande Moreau. The film is available on DVD and Blu-ray, and also available to rent on YouTube.
I adored this. It's rare for us to both see a film that we've each not seen before. Well, the first time that happened was the very first episode, which we don't talk about now.
That is true. That's been struck from history. That
yes.
We have travelled back and erased that, even though it's out. Blah, blah, blah. That's a good point, yes. Yeah. Well, we only found out about it by doing the actual Peggy Sue, didn't we?
Yeah, this is a Time Babble first.
Yeah. Research is good.
Yeah.
Research can be good.
It can be good, yeah.
Research can accidentally be good.
That's right.
Yeah, like you say, it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it's wonderful. I don't want to spend the time relating it to Peggy Sue.
No.
Because Peggy Sue, quite frankly, in my mind, falls a bit shorter than this.
Oh, God, a lot. I love
Like you said, it's more emotional. It's more poignant. Oh, all the pieces seem to work. It's not without its dodgy moments, which we might get onto.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
But it's grounded in reality. That's what I really like about it. The nostalgia doesn't seem forced.
No.
And even when she's gone back in
flashback. Yeah.
Even then, there's a reality to the sets and the school where they are and to their lives together. The girl group is like wonderful.
Yes.
Their interactions. They really
both
worked.
The now and the then. Yes. It's such a different film. It's basically the same, but it's 100% different. It's like, that rarely happens. Yeah. I still love Peggy Sue. I mean, even as a Nicolas Cage fan, having to get past that Nicolas Cage performance in there, it's still a film I go back to, I do like, but this just makes it look beyond stupid. Even the way it goes back in her room, which is like a perfect 80s bedroom and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we'll get on to this.
Oh, okay. But the stuff that's in there isn't, it's not flagged up in the way that most films are. It's just there in the background. We're not suddenly holding up a record to camera. We're not suddenly looking at...
No, you have to be like me where you stopped it and paused it and rewind it to see what exactly was on the walls and on the records.
Yes.
So we get at least two pictures of James Dean.
Yes.
Which is part of the course. We get a couple of pictures.
Well, Athena will have been going by then, the poster shot, won't it? So.
She also in the corner had the baby with the spaghetti on his head.
Yeah, nice.
And then we had a couple of pictures of Madonna.
Yes.
You could argue that it's a year late on one of the
Nice.
There we go.
Nice. Okay.
Let's not worry about it.
No.
Then we get Irene Cara from Flashdance.
Yes. And the fame LP was floating around. There
fame,
as well.
Yeah. And.
Yeah. No, there was some. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not finished.
No. Yeah, I realise. Puts the kettle on, makes drink.
That's right. We had. This might happen more than once.
Nice.
We had stuff I've seen.
I love this now because it means I don't have to do this because I know full well when I get to those scenes, it's like, I could pause this and look at him. It's like, I know a man who's going to do this.
That's right. So we've got Brando as well.
Mm.
We've got Natasha Kinski from Paris, Texas, in a fluffy jumper. And then we've got Marilyn, not that one.
Oh, okay.
The other one.
Well, it's the mid-80s. One of them was around and the other one wasn't.
That's right.
It's the one that's not around that's on the wall, isn't
it? That's right, yeah. Yeah. Bell Stars record.
Yes, nice, out of the time.
Very good, yeah, that's right. Kim Wilde.
Yeah.
I think a young Jodie Foster, Taxi Driver era. It's difficult to pick her out. It might be, you know, a young French lady or something, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
And then Shakin' Stevens.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
That's right.
Whoa, okay, now I'm thinking, hang on a minute.
If you look hard enough, you'll always see a poster of Shakin' on the wall.
That's like a Rorschach test,
that's
isn't
right.
It? If you look hard enough, you'll always see Shakin' Stevens coming at you. Yeah.
That's right, and who wants that?
No. I did spot the Rumblefish picture in there as well.
There is, yes.
Yeah, which
there
I thought was quite cool.
That links it through to Cage and Peggy Sue.
Young Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been so super cool if they'd have actually just been hidden away. And I was hoping when you were looking around on the wall, because I knew you'd have been doing that.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
No, if there'd have been
a
little...
shaky, but I didn't see that.
No, but if there'd have been a picture or a postcard from Peggy Sue, just a little postcard or the soundtrack or the single or something, whichever one is going gets tough, but a little Billy Ocean single in the background, something.
Hang
on, no, that's the other one, isn't it? That's Kathleen Turner in the other one.
She is Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
You're getting your Turners mixed up.
My Turners are right, it's the wrong film.
That's right.
Romancing the Doodah, isn't it?
It is Romancing the Doodah.
Or even just Buddy Holly. Is there a Buddy Holly album in the background?
No.
That would have been pretty cool.
No.
Just having a Buddy Holly single or something in the background.
Unless it's the vinyl that they've nailed to the wall, which give me the shivers. Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Oh, what were kids like?
I don't know. Yeah, oh, idiots. I know what to do with this Buddy Holly record. I'll nail it to the wall.
You stupid boy. Idiot. 7-year-old teenager.
Yeah.
Mysteries and dreams.
Listen to me.
I think your fudge is 41.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I really like the start of the film.
The opening?
Yeah, the opening, yeah. So Not Peggy is an actress. And she's being filmed in bed, having her throat slashed. It's really super gory. There's like gouts of blood spraying everywhere. It's wonderful.
I've already written my Christmas list for next year, and at the top of the list, I want one of those pumping blood machines.
Oh, yeah.
I need one of those.
He gets
in my
wrapped
life.
Around his ankles.
Yeah.
Trips over, like spraying it all over the crew. But did you notice who the murderer was?
Oh.
He looked exactly like Colin Baker.
Oh, that disgruntled actor stood by the wall.
That's right, yeah. No wonder he's murderous.
Nice. Just pretend that she's Peter Davidson.
That's right. It's a wonderful opening.
Yeah, because it's completely unexpected. From that point, you think, where is this film going? It's just almost like a Dario Argento bloodletting opening. And it's like, yeah. Oh, that's a lot of blood.
Yeah, it very much is. So the titles are a bit like a chocolate advert, maybe, or something like that?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So you've got, like, kind of wispy bits, and then you've got feathers and falling fags. Yeah. And then a cat appears going horizontally.
Falling across the screen.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It wasn't dogs catching frisbees, but it'll do.
No, no.
It's not a tick.
No, no. It's a question mark.
That's yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. It actually, there's a bit at the very beginning where Not Peggy is talking to her cat. And the cat acting, I've got to say, is pretty damn good.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a goose, but...
No,
you know,
no. It's not a goose in a cat suit, no.
Well... Unless it was a really, really...
Cat-shaped goose.
Yeah, it could have been a cat-shaped goose. It was difficult to tell. Either way, the acting was great.
The agency looking for that kind of casting call, yeah.
Yeah.
Cat-shaped.
Next.
Cat-shaped
you. Goose. Next. Mew. Next. You. Yeah. Get out.
Can you put this suit on? Can you look confused and can you look direct at camera on cue?
Why is the cat walking on its two back legs and having trouble using its two front legs? They look like they're flapping around. Next
time. Yeah. What is it good for? Not much, really.
That scene and just even that going back to the dressing room in that and she's, you have any lines and she just looks at the other one and goes, bah.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, same as me. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. The woman next to her is having a neck fix for the next scene.
Yes,
anyway.
It's like there's obviously a parade of throat slittings by Colin Baker. Yeah,
that's right.
But then you go to that scene on the bus.
She's a drinker.
Drinking, but just that sadness that emits from the screen is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's so naturalistic. You just fall for that character in that moment, I think, as well.
Yeah,
it's like all the weight of life is kind of
world weary.
Yeah,
yeah. How do we recognise that?
Interesting. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. It's a stretch for us, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Mm.
Joyous, bouncy.
Joie de vivre, as they say.
That's what they say
in the French speaks. We've got a bit of this old joie de vivre. I went over to Calais to pick up some crates of it.
Won't anything to happen to your goose now, would we?
No. If you could find it in the cat suit.
But in French accents.
Blah, blah, blah,
not going to do.
No, we shouldn't do.
No.
We're legally obliged not to do. She goes back and has an argument with her husband, who is... Yes. The actor is called Samir Evanzini, I think he's called.
Okay, yeah.
I was kind of like, straight away, I recognise him.
Yes.
I know him from Series 2 of Engrenage, the French policier from BBC 4.
Oh, okay, because he was also in The Returned, wasn't he? That's, I think, where...
He is in The Returned, yes.
I think that's where I recognised him.
Ah, of course, yeah. But he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it was an instantly recognisable face. Yeah, it was, yeah.
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 Lucky it wasn't Gerard Depardieu. That would have been a different film, certainly around 2012.
Oh, yeah. Put the bottle down, Gerard.
On your way to Russia, are you, Gerald?
Put the bottle down. Don't do that in it.
Are you going to have to bleep this?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. The film is just littered. Each kind of scene and setup is just so beautifully done.
Yeah.
When she's showing either the buyer or the estate agent guy around the apartment and stuff, and she's redoing the husband's letter to her about all her faults, and it's just a beautiful moment where she relives that with him through the apartment. And there's that fight sequence when she's flapping her arms to get away. And
she's quite drunk as well.
Oh, God, she's constantly on the whiskey. Yeah. It's kind of tragically beautiful. It's so nice.
Yeah. But then she goes to visit the horologist, who is, I've got to say...
The horologist.
The horologist.
Yeah.
Who is decidedly odd.
Yeah.
So much so, he's got like a kind of big black wig and his like funny wrinkled face. And I was thinking... Is that because we're going to see him later on in the film?
I think,
as a young neurologist.
He's been aged a little bit.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Turns out not. You do see him again, but he's the same.
He's the same, just without the black flowing wig.
That's right, yeah. Very odd. But he says some beautiful stuff, though.
He is so good.
There's those typically French poetic lines.
Yes. He's such a cool character in both the now and the then.
So she's trying to get a watch fix, isn't she?
Yes.
Which her parents gave to her when she was younger. 16, it turns out.
16th birthday.
That's right,
which
yeah.
Will again come back to later.
And he says to her, no more parents, he says. Oh, no one above anymore.
Yeah.
Creates a void, and the void sucks you in.
I'm in. I am in.
No, that's just...
That speaks to me.
And the way she kind of reacts to that is so nice as well. Of, oh, right, that explains I'm kind of now the top of my food chain.
Exactly.
I am the end of my family, even though she's only relatively young.
But she has got a daughter.
Yeah, because when she's talking to a daughter and she's forgetting what a mum sounds like, and then it's that you, by remembering them, you're keeping them alive.
And she says how her mum died the day she said she was pregnant with a daughter.
Yes.
That's going to come up later.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, beautifully.
we will get onto that, yeah.
I think we might get onto that bit.
Yeah. Do you want to get some tissues now?
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you might.
Oh. How are we going to make fun of that?
You don't have to make fun of everything.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. This is the only way I can get through it.
Okay, then let's do it. I'm sure we'll find a way.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
We'll find a way, as I said, in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. But the whole setup, including putting a woman's dress on to go to the party and wear that.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful moment, one of the many beautiful moments that are just tiny fractions of a second in the film, where she's saying goodbye and she's going to the party, and her daughter hugs her and says, I love you, and walks away, and French Peggy reaches out for her, but she's already gone, and it's just like a second, and it's, oh man, it's just...
We'll get onto this, because there's a specific moment I want to talk about later on in particular.
Okay, yep.
Naomi in this film is just fantastic. Like, such a subtle performance, and there's just little things, just like you were talking about, that she does, that is just there. You have to notice them.
They're gone.
They're there and gone. Yeah,
it's not overhead. No. It's not close up in a 3 minute look at camera scene.
It's fabulous. Really is. Yeah, really is.
Everyone else is also given time to breathe and front and centre and all that. Everything is tight.
Don't worry, Mocha, we're one-sided, it's fine.
Yeah.
Or maybe I won't. Why am I just burping all the way through this episode?
Oh, I'm going to be. You should replace my side with just belching.
That's right. I wish I'd thought of it before.
Now I know what series 4 is going to be.
That's right. It's going to be me talking about Goodnight, Sweetheart, and you just belching. The fan is going to love it.
Yeah, he hadn't called me for months and months on that. We'd be surely be due to do another recording.
He seems to do these every week. Well, he used to.
I see the episodes going out. Yeah. I don't even remember recording those. Yeah.
Must be my memory going.
Yeah. Ribbit. Time!
Yeah! What is it good for? They're very little. Say it again. They're very little.
It is a remake of Peggy Sue. It's a rewrite of Peggy Sue.
It absolutely is.
It seems to be officially kind of acknowledged within the film, within the credits rather. So it's presumably different enough to escape legal nonsense.
I mean, I'm surprised the Americans notice anything, quite frankly.
Well, that's our one American listener gone.
That's right.
No, he's not there.
No. I'll stick on episode one.
Yeah. The girl who goes blind is presumably, it feels like a variation on the
woman in the wheelchair.
Rose in the wheelchair, which isn't even picked up in the film. And this is just beautifully handled. And there's a scene where she finds out.
That scene is wonderful.
Where she finds out she may be going blind. Yeah.
No, she is. She's found out she is going blind.
Yes. Yeah.
And she says, at least I don't have to wear the glasses anymore.
But then there's just that wonderful stuff where it's like, well, my mum says that you shouldn't listen to doctors and
That's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then she looks at them all. We don't see their faces, but she looks at them all. And it's obviously like, oh, yeah. These things are just peppered throughout. Yeah. In such a neat way.
French Peggy goes to the fancy dress party just as a mum.
Yes.
You're kind of thinking, oh, she hasn't actually dressed up. And then you're going, oh, yeah, she has. But no one else realises that. But she's dressed as a mum. It's another subtlety that's just wonderful.
She has become her mum as well in that moment of wearing it as well.
Yeah. Well, that's where the connection is.
Yeah.
And you could argue that that's what ignites her flashback.
Yes, the whiskey might have helped.
Yes, that might have helped, I admit. The lots of the whiskey,
yeah.
I would like to whiskey back to the fancy dress party.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because
happily.
I have got quite an extensive stuff I've seen.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So the door opens and she's hugged by Catwoman, one of her friends. and then straight away I'm like, oh, there's a lot of people dressed up here. I think I better see who they all are.
Again, I knew I didn't need to freeze frame.
That's right. This will go on for quite a while, though, because there's a lot of people at that party.
There is a lot of people. Yes.
They're stuffing into that flat, I tell you. Anyway, this is in no particular order. Okay. You can't have everything.
We're not doing in chronological order of appearance.
I can do if you like.
No, it's fine.
Give me a moment to just reorder it slightly.
Reorder the spreadsheet.
That's right. I just have to change the filter. I've listened to them in the most humorous order I could.
Oh, okay, nice.
There we go. There's got to be a few randoms in the mix because I couldn't either see them well enough or they were nondescript.
Yes, or they're possibly references that we don't get if they're French cultural references as well. Maybe.
Yeah, there was no Gerard Depardieu playing Cenário de Bergerac.
He was in the bathroom.
Yeah, he was in the bathroom being sick, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Catwoman, as we said.
Yep.
We've got Mother Teresa, another of her friends.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes.
Then we get Blind Cher, which is one of her friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get a bellboy, an 80s keep fit girl.
Okay, yeah.
Camille, who's come as a mum.
Yes.
Carmen Miranda, classic.
Nice, actress. Yeah. Who hasn't gone to a party as,
I mean, yeah, if one looks at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
He without sin. That's right. There was a Harlequin.
Yes,
there was some kind of cowboy rodeo man. I couldn't quite figure it out, but there was enough there for me to mention. There's a sailor.
Yeah.
There's a man dressed as an old lady. You know, again, a classic. Yeah. We all
know. Yeah, doing it now.
Yeah. That's right. I can see it. I was very impressed. I suppose I hadn't mentioned it.
Anyway. Well, it's taken quite a number of episodes for it to actually just come up in the programme, but, you know.
That's true. Now it has. We're all embarrassed.
Yeah, I'll have to wear something else.
That's right, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Then we get someone wearing a frilly shirt, shiny jacket, kind of a Liberace type.
Oh, okay, flamboyant.
Yeah, flamboyant.
Or like Siegfried and Roy, yeah.
Yeah, without the head bitten off.
Pre-head bitten off, yeah.
Then we get a Native American woman.
Okay.
We get a kind of Genghis Khan type soldier or king that's in furs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. He's one that fades to black when Peggy has her flashback.
Oh, when we go into the flashback.
That's right, yeah. We get a drag queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still with me?
Oh, yeah. I'm writing them all down.
I'm about halfway through.
Yeah.
Extended episode of Time Babble.
We should just do one episode that's all these lists.
We could just compile
the lists and we just have an end of series list special.
Yeah, let's do
things what Rob has listed.
Things I've listed.
Special.
Very good. We get a World War One fighter pilot, which is probably Biggles.
Who else could it be?
Yeah, exactly. Who else is it? Yeah. Zorro. Not Biggles Zorro. There was a Zorro there.
Yeah, okay.
Just point that out.
Zorro, the World War One fighter
pilot. That's right, yeah. There's also what looks to be like Flash Gordon, but it's quite difficult to tell. Because they've got like kind of shiny shoulder pads, which point up at the end, which you could argue was more Ming the Merciless like.
But
he's got a blonde wig on.
So maybe he's amalgamated the Flash Gordon.
Oh, there we go.
Because that would have been about the right time, wouldn't it?
Ming Gordon. Someone's come to the party as Ming Gordon.
It's difficult to choose, isn't it?
Because
you're gonna want to go as Ming the Merciless.
It's my favourite film, but I really like both the characters. I don't like that Zarkov. No, I don't like him.
God. Oh. I'm not wearing those shorts.
No, I'm not wearing those shorts. Oh, my God. Talk about flashbacks.
Do not pick that pencil up, please.
There was two people in the audience not looking at Dale Arden.
The sun has just gone out. My eyes.
They knew what they were doing in those days, didn't they?
Oh, my God.
I just... give me a moment.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're all going to have a pause.
Time Babble comfort break.
And here we go. So, back to the list.
Yeah.
We got an Amazonian.
Nice. Standard. Yeah.
60s preppy type girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great. What might be Mozart, but...
What might be Mozart?
Yeah, you get that. In the background, there's some kind of leopard in sunglasses, or it might be that naughty bear man in The Shining.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that one. I couldn't quite figure it out, but it's a bit odd.
Okay.
It's quite a decision for a costume. There's a peasant girl, or it could be Heidi.
Yeah, possibly.
There's Charles Chaplin. Yeah, Charles is there.
Oh, okay, I didn't spot that.
There's a bee.
What, just a bee?
Just a bee, yeah.
Nobody in a costume, just a bee on, in the room.
Well, you know, in a way, it references what happens later in the film, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're getting ultra meta.
That's
now.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Might as well. It's only way I'm going to
trapped behind, really. Trapped behind a pipe.
That's right. Get out of there, you idiot. Yeah, actually, that was in the party. The bee, person in the bee costume was trapped behind a pipe. Okay, there's a hippie girl.
Okay,
it's an 80s new waver. We've all seen them.
Yeah.
Again, the 80s kit fit girl.
Yeah,
what happens later on? There's a toy soldier.
Okay, yeah.
There is a suffragette, or it could be Mary Poppins, but it looks like
same thing.
Yeah, all same.
Yeah.
And then there's a circus ringmaster.
Okay, yeah.
And then hold on to your wine. Someone invited the invisible man.
Oh,
he's really tall, and he's lurking around in the background with a bottle in hand. It's like, oh my god,
I'm fearful for their wallpaper. No, okay, they're gonna William Morris all over that.
He really is. Yeah. Oh no, who's done this? Peggy, what's wrong? Oh my god,
who invited him?
<I don't know>. The idiot though, like dressed up, wrapped himself in bandages, so they're gonna know who it is.
Yeah, didn't even come invisible.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
foolish. And there you go.
Oh, okay.
There's all the people I noticed at the party.
Yay! Did you mention the nurse? Is there a male nurse?
I didn't see a male nurse.
I thought there was. Oh, okay.
I think that was the man dressed as an old lady.
Okay. I do get those.
You
things
do muddled. Get those. I've I known that. I know that about muddled. You. Yeah.
You should see me in the hospital. It's
it's a nightmare. I'm surprised they let you in anymore.
I'm going where they don't. But
they don't. You're going anyway.
Even if my leg falls off, I'm not allowed in hospitals.
Time! Yeah! What is it good for? Nothing, actually, nothing.
Anyway, it's your turn to speak because I've spoken far too long.
That party scene has one of my favourite moments in the film as well, and it's the moment where she momentarily goes out of the party. So, as you mentioned, she's been to the horologist for her watch fixing, and did we mention? And she has her wedding ring taken off,
snipped off,
brutally snipped off. Yeah, but there's just this wonderful scene where she walks out of the main party room into a separate room, opens the window. The ring is in the bag, and she just casually drops it out of the window.
She lets it fall out of her hand, you know.
Yeah, and it literally just floats to nowhere. It's just beautiful.
But we've all been at parties where we've stepped out for a moment.
Oh, gotcha. It's mainly how I spend my time at parties.
I'm surprised we're ever invited, quite frankly.
Well, we're not, but it's because we're outside.
To be fair, yeah, like we turn up at hospitals, it's the same thing. You turn up at a party. Dressed as an old lady that is dressed as a male nurse.
Yeah. With bandages on like the invisible
That's
man.
That's right. Yeah. Stealing all the wine and puking on the walls.
Well, now I'm going as Ming Gordon, but you know.
I am definitely going as Ming Gordon. It's a great outfit.
Who is it?
Anyway.
We then pull back into the countdown for 2000 and blah.
Whichever.
Doesn't matter. No.
Then she collapses.
Yes.
And has her flashback.
Has a little dream.
That's right, yeah. She gets picked up from the hospital by her mum and dad. What's great is that, and it's different to Peggy Sue, is that they don't try and make her look younger. She's just like the same person walking around.
She's got longer hair. Other than that.
Yeah. She's safe.
But that scene with the nurse and with her mum and dad sets that up that you know they're seeing 16-year-old her.
We can suspend disbelief, it's fine.
Yeah, and it works perfectly. You don't have to de-age, you don't have to CGI some, but just accept it for what it is, and it's just so good.
I'd just like to speak about the mother and father a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So when we see them, the mother looks a bit like a weird Judi Dench.
Because damn, Judi Dench doesn't look weird.
Yes, that's true.
We're not allowed to diss the Dench.
No, we're not. So we could either call her French Dench.
French Dench, yeah.
Or we could call her Jowday.
Weird Judy.
Yeah, Weird Judy. Call her Jowday.
Nice.
You got there eventually.
Hey, meanwhile.
That's what I mean. And then the dad, I had trouble with him. And then I realised he looks a bit like a cross between Jimmy Greaves and Barry Chuckle. Or a bald Lemmy.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
I think Bald Lemmy and Jowday. Yeah.
So what are we on? Sorry.
Yeah. Bald Lemmy and Jowday.
Nice. Yeah. Carry on. Yep.
You're going to speak about the parents, were you?
I was, but I've forgotten.
No, yeah. I'm not doing this. I'm not playing.
I like it.
I don't like it anymore.
But they are so good. I love
them. Yeah, they are lovely, aren't they? Yeah.
Again, it's that difference, and even not Peggy Sueing it, when you look at all those flashbacks, and you usually get those, the perfect looking parents, all that situation, and they're actually just real people. They do look like somebody's parents. They don't look like a picture postcard film parents.
Well, they do look a bit like...
Well, they do look
Judy
a little
Dench
bit.
And let me...
I'm sure when, if she's not already done her autobiography, she will mention her brief fling with Len. Unless Judi Dench was the young lady on the stage in Hawkwind.
Oh, there we go, yeah. Yeah, she is the silver machine. I've always said it. Time Babble truths.
Yay. God bless Jowdy. And then littered through that as those wonderful scenes where French Peggy is obviously likes to drink.
She certainly keeps
picking up the bottle. Well, that's the reason they go to hospital, isn't it? Because she's been found dead drunk.
Did they see you there?
No, I was in the cupboard with Gerard Dabadoo.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Was that one of the very first scenes, the very first morning? About, I can't remember what the first thing is. And then she goes, "Oh, well, how about a psychiatrist?"
Oh no, she says, "I wrote this down." She says, "You need to start seeing a gynecologist and a shrink."
That's right, gynecologist.
I'm like, what? You know, she's 16.
But from her, you know, their daughter's becoming a woman growing up and stuff. Is she seeing the shrink because she's seen the gynecologist? I don't know how that works.
I really love how she finds school funny and pointless. You know, she's just got an attitude of like, this is ridiculous.
What is this
nonsense?
Yeah. But the film perfectly summed up that chaos of school corridors, that chaos of just stairways and bewilderingness of hundreds and thousands of people just
back and forth
from pointless room to pointless room. The school stuff is really good.
It is. I think it's typified by that gymnastic scene where the Heather's girls are
critiquing
Camille's gang's girls' bodies.
Yes.
Saying, oh, look at that ass is too small. Look at her breast, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they get the girl who goes blind. And she's clearly done it before, but she has a fake rant at the Heather's girls. She says some wonderful lines. Did you write them down?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
I did write one down.
Oh, okay.
She says one of them is a pathetic show dog poodle. It's really nice.
Well, there was one that I remembered as, how about we swap your face for your arse and we'll see how you score then.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, beautiful. There you go. You did write it down, I see. Yeah.
But then French Peggy does that instantly, like, oh, I'd forgotten how awful all this was. How horrible kids are, or can be, rather.
And the teachers, oh my God.
The literature lesson thing is just amazing from beginning to end of the lecturer's teacher.
Is that Mathieu Alamery?
It's Quantum of Solace, Butterfly and the Diving Bell. Yeah. Just in the briefest of roles as a lech. Yeah.
Oh, he is him. It's like he's quite a different spot.
That's so good, where he's just basically demeaning one of Peggy's friends.
Yeah.
Freggie. Like Ming Gordon. I'm combining the characters
that's fine,
together.
That's fine, you do it. I know it's confusing.
But there's that wonderful moment where the first of Freggie's friends gets up and goes, I'm not having any of this. You need to change your attitude. It's something like you're stupid, silly man or something. And just opens and jumps out the window.
And then her friends follow
her. We have no concept. And we never find out how high up they are.
No, they do leap out.
They're definitely not on the ground
floor. They are not on the ground floor. No.
And then one by one, the four of Freggie's friends all just jump out.
And then the boys are like, they're so cool.
That's class. Yeah.
What's good about the boys is that there's only two of them.
Yes.
Peggy Sue, there's like, I don't know, five or six, and all idiots. But this...
Well, it's quite male-dominated, isn't it, obviously, is Peggy Sue. Yeah, but is this...
Yeah, Naomi making the film, writing the film. It comes across like that, and it's so much better for it.
Yeah.
Because you don't need all of those other blokes, because blokes are the same, turns out, right?
Yes.
There's no subtlety between them.
Yeah.
And,
even us.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. What is the character's name?
The husband.
Yeah.
I think it's just husband.
Husband. So husband, he's a really interesting character. He's pursuing her. It's lovely. And then his friends started to have a relationship with one of her other friends.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's really
nice.
They could do a double date.
Mother Teresa, I think. Yeah.
It is Mother Teresa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. fancies Mother Teresa. You know, who wouldn't?
Yeah, we are. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Time. What is it good for? Mysteries and dreams.
Listen to me. Then they have a scene where there's theatre. I don't know what the play is.
The player that within the film is Eugene.
The play I didn't get. Is it
Eugene something or just Eugene? But
it's Eugene. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
French playwright.
Yeah. Which we all know. We don't need to go.
Yeah, we don't need to go into the details.
No, you all know what it is.
You all know what. Yeah, we don't want to know about. Yeah.
We don't want to embarrass the listener by over explaining stuff.
It's patronizing, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah. And we're not that kind of a, yeah.
What? Anyway, so the director for the play is...
He's amazing.
Russell Brand, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's Russell Brand. It reminds me of Edgar Wright as well. He's got a kind of Edgar Wright.
It's a bit like Edgar Wright. Get the editing a bit quicker.
Everybody put your headphones on.
Yeah, right.
Edgar,
okay.
Yeah.
Why do I have to hold this cornetto? Yeah. Oh, who's that? Is that Timothy Dalton? Yeah. But it's lovely how she knows the play by heart because she's an actress. It's brilliant.
Yes, well, and she's already done it.
She's already done it. Yeah. And she's probably done
it. Yes, in real life. Yes. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, she's at the back sort of rewording
the lines. She's
mouthing
the words, isn't she? Yeah.
While the girl on stage is mumbling. Yeah. I mean, in fact, that's Mother Teresa again, isn't it?
She is, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't know the words.
No, but she knows the words. She just speaks. Those scenes and those lines are just so perfect as well, aren't they? They're so nicely intercut.
Yeah.
To wherever their current state of relationship or not
exactly
relationship
that,
is.
Exactly that.
From that famous French play, Eugene.
That's right.
Yeah. Which we all know.
Which we all know. We won't talk about anymore. Yeah. Let's move on to the swimming pool scene. They sneak out.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
And break into a swimming pool. That comes back later on. And it's just the girls. There's a very French bit where someone takes the top and bottoms off.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
That does happen. It's just the girls chatting and chatting about encounters and being themselves within their own space. It's just, it's really lovely.
Being authentic and being goofy and but then French Peggy does that wonderful scene of like I was in love and goes on to explain this relationship that she's had for 25 years, but they just listen and accept it as they don't kind of go shut up you idiot or anything like that. They just listen to a kind of heartfelt story about this 25-year love relationship that she's
had. It's lovely.
And fully implants her future relationship with this guy. We only saw that fractious ending in that moment of that pool scene. We kind of see that whole relationship just fully explained.
It's laid out.
So nice.
Yeah. They go to a party, which is fantastic, and they do the dance.
We walk on sunshine again.
We do walk on sunshine again, but we've seen the dance in the future, which makes that scene even nicer because they've learned that together as friends. And even 25 years later, they're doing the same thing and they remember
they
the
just
moves.
Walk in.
Yeah, it's so good.
No, that's a really nice moment.
And luckily for everyone, it wasn't a fancy dress party.
I'm running out of paper to write down who's there.
It should have been a nightmare for everybody concerned. And this is where husband tries to start to talk to Camille.
Yes.
And she brilliantly says 10 words.
Yeah, I'm tired.
And then,
ten
words. And then he's starting to count them on his fingers. Like you do when you do your...
like when I'm doing my haikus.
Like when you're doing your haikus.
Yeah.
That's right. And he says... and this is over. I think the Go-Go's, we got the Beatles playing.
Yeah, that's kicked in. Yes.
Which is brilliant, yeah. But he says, you like sangria, which is a brilliant, brilliant chat up line. I like the colour of your eyes. 10 words.
That's your 10 words, I'm
that's
done.
So good.
But then he says, what does he say? Like, lovely conversation, and then sort of bows towards her as she walks away. Thank you very much for speaking to me. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's so good. What's lovely is she agrees to walk home with him.
Well, eventually, yes.
Eventually, yeah.
Because she knows this scene. It's already, this scene has
happened. Exactly. It's already happened. And there's a lovely bit where he's saying, I'm going to kiss after the third streetlight. But what's really good is that the friends say, oh, okay, we'll chaperone you. We're going to walk behind you. And they do. They're there in the background.
Yes, protecting her.
Protecting her. That's so good. Yeah. What is a little dodgy is she's 41 and he's 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of those instances where if you reverse the sexes, it wouldn't potentially work. Although that is, but that is addressed in the film later, isn't it, as well?
Lecture, so
it does touch upon that. Mm-hmm. But by that point in the film, we're completely invested that she is 16-year-old Peggy.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she's got 40, however many years of life experience behind her. Mm-hmm. But that sequence walking home is just a lovely example of the sweetness and silliness of a first romance, and it captured a sweetness really well, I thought,
when
she's re-falling for him again, or seeing him, which is what the film's about, isn't it? She's seen that aspect of him that she'd forgotten, because at the beginning of the film she despises him.
Yeah.
It's not what she's lost, it's coming to terms with what she had, which is really nicely done.
Yeah.
She'd forgotten all this sweetness, she'd forgotten he was a goofy kid, she'd forgotten all this.
Then she rejects him, he doesn't quite understand, he can start seeing other people. Straight away she goes for a character who is a very odd character.
Yeah, this is dodgy than the sequence that we just talked about, because this is basically just stalking.
Yeah, stalking.
Well, it's not the only incident of stalking,
no, it's
is
not,
it?
But, no. No, it's not.
But the sports ground, if the four of them are watching French Peggy and Freggy's friend, his young lad, they're like, oh, he's only a
freshman or sophomore.
First year. He's like, yeah, but he's looking at me, and he's like, oh, yeah. But the same way he looks again, carries on running, where she's like, I'm going to go have a word with him. She's just running, and he kind of looks back, and then he tries to speed up, but this older person just catches up with him, like, you're all right.
Yeah.
Let's have sex. He's like, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Can I have another run round and I'll decide?
But he's still an asshole, because he doesn't like her taking control, even at that age.
No.
Which is interesting.
That was a strange...
He's certainly not a poet either.
No.
He didn't talk about dog puke.
Although that does happen in the sequence back at the swimming pool, doesn't it? Where the one who'd been swimming says about one of the relationships that she'd had, and after they'd had sex, that the boyfriend was then sick.
Why, so yes, it does.
So,
yes,
you know, it turns
fantastic.
Out boys
there
and sex does equal.
Yeah, puke.
Yeah.
Time babble choose. Oh my god.
She's trying to capture that moment again, but with somebody else, and through a series of misdemeanors and falling out of bed, it just doesn't happen. Although I love how many layers she's wearing. As somebody who can doesn't leave the house without five layers on, she was wearing an incredible comedy amount of layers. But then the strange running boy at the end just kind of goes, thank you, and kisses her on the cheek.
Yeah. It's quite sweet.
It's kind of sweet in the end.
Yeah, I know.
But I like how that's those simple things just complicate every scene.
There's a wonderful scene at the swimming pool later on where they have a double date.
Oh, where she gets set up with the...
She gets set up with husband.
Set up with husband,
yeah. And he's professing her love for her. She realises that's what she wanted to hear when they're older. That's the thing that he should have been saying to her, and she should have been hearing.
Yes.
It's absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. But the way the light is through the slats in the wall, and it's like,
that moment
it casts
when
it on her face.
The fingers kind of glow gold.
That's
and
right,
blue
and it's so nice. And then we get, she goes back home, because it's her birthday, isn't it? It's her 16th birthday. She goes back to her parents. She hasn't finished her evening yet. Oh my God.
No, they're there waiting for her.
Patiently, to give her the watch.
Jowdy and Lemmy.
They have the food, she downs the champagne. The look on Jowdy and Lemmy's face. Their expressions.
Well, that's one of the scenes where she reaches for the bottle again and then
she
goes...
She does. She does.
Sit back
No, maybe not. And then she recalls them singing this song. Because throughout, she's trying to record their voices, isn't she?
Yes.
She would, like, remind herself, because she realises, I didn't do this at the time.
Well, and that's an interesting thing as well of that time, is that it wasn't really a means to do that, or you wouldn't think to do that. In a digital recording world that we're now in, our stupid voices will be around for forever, whereas you don't
have anything to do with it.
Well, yours will be, but mine will be.
That's right.
Belch boy.
Belch man.
Yeah, at my funeral, he just belched a lot. Belched a lot.
That's what his name is.
The only recording of his voice is him belching the alphabet. Yeah. But that regret of not being able to capture those moments.
Yeah.
And it's an odd kind of way it's done, because she kind of knows when her mum's going to die. She knows the day.
She does.
And it may not happen, and she tries desperately for it not to happen.
She managed to take it from a CAT scan, not a fancy-dressed man dressed up as a male nurse.
It's a cat.
That's right. That would be bad. Or a goose dressed as a cat.
Doing a scan.
Doing a scan. No wonder they didn't get it right. Oh, yeah, sorry, I missed that aneurysm.
Yeah. Now go through the cat scan. Seems you're fine.
Fine, no problem. Hang on, can I get a second opinion? That's right.
You can't get a second opinion. We have no more geese or gooses.
Time! Yeah! What is it good for? Nothing, actually nothing.
Well, that brings us on to Alphonse, doesn't it?
Yes.
The physics lecturer?
I think he's just he's in the observatory, isn't he? Yeah.
He's lecturing about the universe.
The infinity of time.
Poetic,
yes.
Infinity of time, blah, blah, blah. And the camera pans across the audience, which is the students.
Yeah.
Half of them asleep. Which is brilliant. The other few people are having this euphoric moment.
Half of them asleep, a quarter of them are making out, the other quarter are kind of enwrapped by this wonder of the infinity of time.
Yeah, it's wonderful stuff. I found the relationship between Not Peggy and Alphonse a little bit strange.
That possibly is the one bit that's not quite rounded out. He is the science person, he is the link to the future, and he's the link to making sure this becomes not just a flashback, but this is a thing that's actually happened.
And maybe being able to explain what has happened.
I love the way that his first interaction, where there is that flame sequence of the flames way, way, way over here. Mm-hmm. And by the time you've seen it, it's gone. You can't go back. The past has passed. Mm-hmm. I think it's that bit. So when it goes from being, this can't happen, get out of my apartment, I think you're just some crazy girl. The next time they meet, he's at the, I've been waiting for you, I've been thinking about what you've been saying. It's like there's a tiny bit missing how their relationship progressed. Because this is before a mum as well, isn't it? Or is it? So it doesn't feel like the connection's quite right.
She convinces Alphonse to get a CAT scan or CAT scan.
Yeah.
she convinces him to get a goose scan for a mum.
Yeah.
Insert, all right, just move your back to that bit.
I really like with my whack here. Their relationship is actually quite nice.
Yeah.
And that complexity of, like, he's her age, so she's actually speaking to a contemporary at that point.
Yeah, that's what makes it kind of okay.
Yeah.
It's an odd one, yeah.
Yeah, when we go back at the end, then the age gap is the other way, and it's quite nicely done. It's just sweet. Because I thought, are they going to do this where, so he's the father of the daughter and stuff, but that doesn't happen either.
No, she still has to get pregnant with the man she's divorcing.
Husband. Yeah.
That's really difficult. At that point, she is like, actually, do love it.
Yeah.
She made that decision.
There's that brilliant moment, and again, it's just a fleeting moment, where she's trying to remember her daughter, and she's drawing her, and she's trying not to let her memory fade.
Her picture fades in,
But it feels like she's drawing her, remembering her, but she's also, because she doesn't exist yet, she's kind of creating her.
It's like a backwards Back to the Future, isn't it?
Yeah, another beautiful little tiny scene.
I mentioned it earlier on, there's two little moments where her acting is incredible, and it's these fleeting moments. There's a bit where bald Lemmy walks in and catches her sniffing her mum's clothes in the wardrobe. It's a really lovely touch.
Yeah.
And then there's another moment where she's hugging her mum, and after she's hugged her, she moves around behind her mum, sniffs her, and then moves on. It's so good. She's taken all these moments to connect with her parents who are dead.
One of the things the film, as you said, captures so beautifully is being in that moment, whether it's in your room or being with somebody that you can't be with anymore. And you just want to experience everything about them. And it's beautifully done. And even like that scene where you just said about a sniffing a mum. It's
very
done discreetly. And if you weren't really paying attention, you possibly wouldn't even notice it. Nothing's overstated, which in different hands.
This is Paul Coppola.
That would be a big giant zoom in on sniffing mum.
It would.
But this has proved that in the right hands, such an interesting project to take a film, especially a film that's from 25 years before, and reinterpreting it through modern senses or a modern audience and not trying to play the same notes.
No, it feels very personal, whereas Peggy Sue doesn't feel personal. What Peggy Sue feels like is, I remember the 60s, here's what happened in the 60s. Oh, look, there's a car, there's some dresses, there's the music.
It's pure nostalgia.
Which you do not get in this film.
No. A slightly different. No, there's that wonderful scene after her mum has a little fall where she goes for a bike ride listening to. Is she listening to her mum on her headphones and stuff?
Chow Day and the Bee.
Chow Day, yeah.
Rather than the Texas radio show, it's the Mississippi
and the bike wobbles.
Radio show. Chow Day and the Bee!
Come out from behind the bike. No, but you shouldn't be here. It's spring. Mothra behind the pipe.
Oh, there we go. Mothra behind the pipe. That's where we've got to. Are you talking about the silent bike crash?
Yeah.
The bit after Jowday dies.
Yeah,
they're going full. It's amazing, that scene, though. She's trying to make her mum not die by going for the goose scan, and then she's bothering her in the kitchen because she knows what day it is. She knows what the time is. Like, she's already talked about her pregnancy to her mum. So her mum's pushing her away. And what's lovely and heartbreaking at the same time is that she pushes her out of the kitchen. So you need to leave. And as soon as she goes out of the kitchen, there's this clatter.
Yeah.
And the mother has clearly fallen over and died.
Yeah.
And there's a realisation of Nut Peggy that that's what's happened again. And she can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's that fixed point.
Yeah.
Well, not that it has to happen. Yeah, it's just that it can't not happen.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think of one. That's the same thing. Anyway, point being, what you're talking about is that after that scene, she goes out for a bike ride and is listening to Jowday and the Bee. And she has a crash, and it's like, it looks like a real crash.
It looks real. Yeah. I wondered if that was actually an outtake.
I think so too. She really hits the ground.
There's no cushion in there. That's just somebody hitting the floor. And if that is an accidental outtake of her falling, but then putting it into the film in that moment... It's a moment of genius.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, this I can't deal with the world. I'm just collapsing. It's incredible.
Yeah, because then there is the actual scene with the bike later where she gets hit, isn't there?
Yeah.
I know we're jumping here, but the strange that the Alphonse is the one who comes to the hospital first, but not her dad. Obviously, her husband is sort of on the way, but that presumably means he's the first person she rang. Or there is a connection, or there is a relationship there that we're not necessarily seeing on screen.
It's very possible. Yeah.
But at that point, she knows she has to go back.
Time! What is it good for? Doing stuff and things.
Listen to me! One of the things I didn't realise while rummaging around and doing some internet searching and stuff that Redouble has actually taken on as a French term for a retake. So basically retaking a year at school.
Oh.
So if a French kid can't get to the next level... It's classed as a redouble, so the rewind, although it kind of works, doesn't have the double meaning of the French time.
Yeah, that works,
which I quite really like,
because
she is reliving that 16th year, one of those lost in translation.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
Oh, one of the things I love when Alphonse does meet her after the car accident and they go to like a cafe or a diner, a French cafe or something, there's that wonderful sequence. So she's given him the tape of the recording of her parents. Hold this. I'll come and visit you in the future. You keep this. Mm. I know I can't take it back with me if I am going back, but we need a song for no reason. It's like, we need a song. So they go to the jukebox and go through all the artists on the song. Well, we need something that'll travel across the 25 years. It's like,
oh,
dead.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury, dead.
That's amazing. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, like, none of those artists. There's a couple of French artists, obviously, but they go through some American artists and stuff. It's, no, dead heart. Yeah. Dead heart. Dead.
That's really good. Isn't one that picked, though, dead?
Yeah. She's like, it's dead, but we'll have this one.
It'll work.
there are none that are still living. I don't know about that. But that would have been a cool moment if the song would have been Peggy Sue Got
there
Married.
There we go.
Peggy Sue.
Oh,
that would have been the neat
there
kind of like, screw you, copper.
There we go.
It is a remake. But then when she does come back to the now, other than now, those two coders are really nice, where she goes back to Alphonse to prove that it happened because of the tape. And then that beautiful scene with the husband, and it's just that acceptance that what we had was beautiful. It's not what we've got now, but it doesn't matter.
No.
So that anger and that bitterness and that hatred is gone, and it's just
gone.
Oh, and we're out. It's like, nice.
Here's your hanky.
It's all wet.
Not you, Goose.
You're not getting paid extra for that.
No. You can't keep coming onto the set and just wah.
Have you met my artiste?
Oh, the agent.
50 quid a quack. I think you'll find. We can just use the same quack.
It could be a honk if you like. That would be more accurate.
Or that'll cost you a little bit more.
51 pairs.
We could have had 75. I know, but I said 51.
I'm not the best at maths.
I nearly said 49. There we go. Right. Excellent.
And now it's time for...
I Caught a Brick!
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. French version this week.
Oh, yes. When we put these together in the printed version, I think we should probably put these in the English and the French
version. Morocco-bound.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to hear this in French now, but okay. I think that's a treat for the person who buys the printed collection of our poems.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
A little extra there.
Yeah,
we can say there's something new in the book. Right, yeah. It's just a badly translated version of a terrible poem.
That's correct, yeah. Speaking of which...
would you like to, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I think you should go first, yeah.
Okay. I'm obviously still on haiku.
Oh, sure. I don't know if we're ever going to get you out of haiku land.
I'm not sure. Well, no.
Every now and again, maybe.
Something will pull me out of it.
Something will bring you back, yeah. I, for one, am looking.
I like counting on my fingers, so I quite like doing the haiku.
I know.
I count as I'm reading as well.
You can read?
So I'm focusing... well, it's in the earpiece.
Right, yeah. Say this. You say earpiece, you mean voices in your head.
Yeah. I'm not wearing an
earpiece. That's right, no, you're not.
One of the many voices.
They are legion.
Here we go. The ring leaves her hand. It falls and twirls through the air. Never hits the ground.
Ooh. Ooh. You've really honed in there, haven't you?
Yeah, that particular I love that scene, little sequence. Yeah. I love that scene.
I'm glad you brought that up early on.
Yeah.
I salute you, sir. And the haiku you rode in on.
Where have you gone? Where are
well,
you?
Well, interestingly, I have gone haiku. It's a rare thing. But I think you'll like this one.
Excellent.
Well,
okay.
I don't actually care. I wrote this in a minute.
Wow, okay.
Usually it takes me a while. I need to think about the film, cogitate.
Okay, yeah.
The influences.
The essence of it.
Essence and the subtext.
Nice.
For this one, I went for the very, very start of the film as a haiku.
Nice, okay.
Here we go. Murderous start. Her throat slit with sprays of blood. It's Colin Baker! He's back! Oh, no!
No! Look who's back.
That would be amazing. There we go.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't do punchline on the end because that would have been taken away from Colin Baker. Just think when it's translated into French, though.
Colin Baker.
Colin Baker.
We said we wouldn't do it. Now we have.
We said, but we can't not.
No.
We did it at the
end.
We did.
We did. We
held off for however long this is. The story follows familiar and unfamiliar paths to American pet.
It's very good, but can you do that again? Because you banged either the mic or the table or something. I tend to rustle papers. That's what I do on my side, so...
Okay, the rustler and the banger.
That's what they call us.
Down the old saloon.
No. It's down, like, WKR Texas Radio. The rustler and the banger.